Time for a Gaza Corner, which we do at 11 o'clock during Tangents every Saturday night. I try to bring something to your attention, usually that I think you may not have heard about, and then play music associated with that region or culture. And this is a extension of part of a mass email I sent to people who subscribe to the Tangents email list, and it's free. Just email me and say, yo, I want to be on it. TangentsRadio@gmail.com, TangentsRadio@gmail.com. And the headline for me is Mass Murder That Does Not Make Front Page Headlines. Sadly, it seems every week a mass murder has been taking place. Brussels, Paris, Orlando, Nice, Munich, most recently. All front page news, wherever you look. This past Tuesday, upwards of 160 people, mostly women and children, were killed in one day. Did you hear about it? My guess is quite a few of you have not heard about it. Apparently, an air bombardment destroyed a school used as a shelter for internally displaced Syrians in northern Syria. And more than 50 houses were destroyed as well, which comprised about 75% of this small village. The reason that many of you are not familiar with this story is it does not make front page news when Syrians are killed. Just like in Rwanda, when Africans were killed, when Kurds are killed every day in the southeast of Turkey, it's not in the front page, and many times not reported at all. And when this particular massacre is committed by a U.S.-led international coalition of airplanes and is not being reported prominently, something is wrong. In the coming months, I would hope the U.S. may acknowledge the bombing was an error. We know it was an error, but will they admit to it? A government spokesman will chalk it up probably to the inevitable collateral damage necessary in defeating the Islamic State. Tell that to the families. And oh yeah, apparently the Islamic State was not even in the village that was bombed. They controlled it, but they weren't in it. The bombing took place just north of the city of Manbij in a village called Atokar near the Turkish border, where coalition airstrikes and an alliance of Kurdish and Arab fighters known as the Syrian Democratic Forces, SDF, are combining to drive out the Islamic State. And they've had this campaign since late May, with coalition airstrikes playing a huge role in this campaign to reclaim Manbij, which fell to the Islamic State in early 2014. Manbij is a very key city. It's been a place where foreign fighters come in from Turkey. They cross the border. And it's kind of like a place where they're in Manbij, they've been able to funnel these foreign fighters through to Aleppo and Raqqa. So it's a very crucial way station for the Islamic State. The BBC's Syrian reporter, Feras Kalani, was the first journalist to get inside Manbij during the battle. There's a video that's linked at the Tangents homepage. In the far right-hand column, there are a number of articles, but the video is only 3 minutes. I recommend you check it out. It's significant because he says that off camera, the displaced citizens of this town said that they were better off under ISIS than under the so-called liberation that's taking place now. Many are still trapped inside Manbij at the mercy of coalition bombs. The U.S.-led international coalition bombings have led to dire shortages of fuel, food, water, and electricity. Many civilians, as I say, remain trapped in Manbij, and the parks have become burial grounds. A news outlet that you may not be familiar with, but I think is one that is quick to publish news inside Syria, is called Syria Direct. Syria Direct quotes local citizen journalist Saad al-Manbaji, quote, "These airstrikes hurt civilians more than anyone. ISIS didn't even have a military presence in At-Tokar." The Washington Post has emerged as the most reliable source, as far as I'm concerned, among the major U.S. media for telling it like it is in the Middle East. In a July 21st article by Max Barak, B-E-A-R-A-K, the headline reads, "An airstrike in Syria killed entire families instead of ISIS fighters." Max starts out this way, quote, "Airstrikes at dawn on Tuesday," that's this past Tuesday, "pulverized entire families, including young children, families that were fleeing Islamic State but were instead mistaken for being those very fighters. Depending on whom you ask, the number of bodies found in the rubble is 56, 85, 160, or 212. Pictures of the mangled bodies covered in dust are a testament to the carnage." And I put a photo, the kind of photo that you won't see in the New York Times or even the Washington Post, although at least to their credit, they put a link to it. But these photos need to be seen. This would easily be the highest civilian toll from any action by the coalition since it formed in 2014. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Zayed Ra'ad Al Hussein said, quote, "We understand the civilians in Manbij are in a dire position as they are trapped between the warring parties. With thousands of civilians trapped between coalition strikes, the SDF and ISIS snipers in Manbij, the potential for a catastrophe here is great. We urgently call on the coalition to reassess those tactics being used in the liberation of Manbij, which reports indicate being disproportionate harm to civilians on the ground." Unquote. The U.S. military has since announced that it is launching an investigation. The U.S. investigations, frankly, have been a joke. The dead and their families are the very same people whose hearts and minds the coalition hopes to win over. The deaths and the likelihood they were caused by the coalition mean that their hope is probably lost also. Liz Sly of the Washington Post, she's one of their Middle East correspondents, quoted Jassem al-Sayed, a politician from Manbij, as saying, quote, "People are now full of hatred for the SDF." Again, the SDF is the Syrian Democratic Forces, the ground forces that the U.S. are supporting through airstrikes. "We thought they were coming to finish ISIS or the Islamic State, but it seems they are finishing us first," unquote. Again, the Washington Post, Max Barak, goes into detail, which I won't, but he goes into detail in the article that's linked at tangents.com, why it is possible but improbable that we will ever hear from the U.S. military on what happened this past Tuesday when this massacre took place and whether the coalition bears any culpability. The article concludes by asking, is it possible that if the media paid more attention to such atrocities, there might be a greater sense of outrage and urgency? And to Max's credit, he points out that the Washington Post has had only one staff-written article on the airstrikes, which failed to make it to the top of the homepage online. The New York Times and most others, he says, quote, ran a wire, unquote, which means it wasn't one of their writers, and it was a very brief mention. And this goes without saying, but I'll say it. Neither candidate, Hillary or Trump, has issued a statement of condolence or concern.